Well, it has been a blessing to be here. The music's been great tonight, amen? And I'm excited for your trip, folks going on a trip to Alaska. I can remember when I was able to take your pastor years ago, I was able to take him to Romania on a senior trip, he and the other fellas, and we went out to Romania right after the walls had fallen, the curtain had come down there in Romania, and we spent some time, and I remember them going into the village of Beiuș and spending time at a orphanage and just covering some places in Romania. And just that is a key time. These trips are powerful times for God to work in people's lives and just to realize God can use you. Tonight, I want to look at that subject of can God use us? Will we allow God to use us? I see a man that was used by God, and literally, he was used to influence senators, is what the scripture says. If you'll look with me to Psalm chapter 105, Psalm 105, it's amazing that God will use us. Amen? Isn't it amazing God will use us? And many times I say, why, Lord? Why me? Or why do I get the opportunity to do this? And I look at other people and see that, man, it's a blessing to see folks just say this, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, that's what I'm willing to do. And amazing things happen when we give the Lord our life, when we give him. I believe when you give him your heart, the circumference will take care of itself. If the Lord has my heart, the Lord will have my friends, he'll have my fellowship, he'll have my time, he'll have my talents, he'll have it all if I'll give him my heart. We read in Psalm 105, and I'm going to allow you to be seated. But I want you to notice in verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. Now notice what it says here, verse 17. It says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt in fetters, and he was laid in iron, and until the time that his word came, and the word of the Lord tried him, and the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free, and he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Now I want you to notice verse 22, what it says, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. It's amazing that God will use us, that God gives us an opportunity. For years, I've been pastoring Independent Baptist Church now for 25 years. My dad was pastor for 22 years. I worked with him on staff, so I've been there for about 35 years. After college, and dad told me one day, he said, I need you to take a ride with me. We were driving around the Beltway. He always is very quiet. He doesn't talk unless he needs to talk, and he said, I'll be leaving on March the 13th in the evening service. I'll be resigning the church. And I said, well, who told you March 13th in the evening service? He said, the Lord. And I said, that's good enough for me. And I said, well, what about me? And he said, if you'll just hold the church together till they get the next pastor, I'd appreciate that. And I said, well, thanks, Dad. I appreciate that. And he kept his word. On March the 13th, he resigned the church. And I'll never forget, they put a pulpit committee together, began to pursue people. They asked me to come. They treated me like they had never even seen me. I mean, they were asking me things about God and asked me for my financial records. And but they were treating me like, Brother Motley said the first question when they were questioning me was, who is God? And I said, Brother Motley, you know who God is, okay? And he said, I want to hear what you have to say, Pastor, Brother Mike. And I'd been preaching to them, and God allowed them to call me about 3 weeks later, and I've been there, and God has been good to us. I think about it and see all that God has done, and folks, God does so many good things in our churches. We really don't deserve it, but I believe our churches, you just think about it, someday we'll clip coupons for eternity. All the people that got saved and all the things that God has done through those people that said, I'm going to allow God to use me and to work in my life. Now, tonight, I for years, I had no clue about Washington, D.C. I lived there, honestly. I went to the White House and saw the King of England, or the Queen of England, the King of Spain. We had people in our church that were that worked in the ceremonies, and they'd get us in. And my dad was able to take Dr. Lee Robertson to the Situation Rooms during Reagan administration. A lot of things happened, but I wanted to be involved, but I didn't know how to. And we began to pray, and one day I got a call, and you heard the story last night. We were listening to the radio and getting ready for church, and my wife said, looked at me and said, "You need to do something about that." And I said, "Valerie, who in the world do you think I am? I'm just pastor of Independent Baptist Church." And she said, "Well, back in the old days when a preacher got fire in his belly and he would have done something about that." I said, "What in the world are you talking about?" A couple weeks later, I got a call from 10 pastors that were coming to D.C. Long story short, we met with John Ashcroft, and we went into leaders' offices and went all over Capitol Hill. And before they left, they all said, "Hey, we're going to tag you, and you're the one, you're it. And we want you to start knocking on doors, going into Capitol Hill, and just meeting leaders and talking to them, encouraging them. And we'll get you an initial meeting." They gave me an initial meeting, and Mike Pence was in that meeting. I met him, gave him a Bible in that meeting. Several, John Boehner and several of the leaders that you all know about, I gave Bibles out and was really encouraged. And I met Jeannie Thomas, Clarence Thomas's wife, and she gave us, it just seems like God had everything in line. Now let me say this. Before I did, I was able to go to Washington, D.C., and I was pastoring and doing things. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, "Lord, could you really use me?" Does anybody ever think about that? "Lord, could you really use me?" Anybody ever think about that? Honestly, we have situations in life. Now, we have battles. We have things that we believe that set us back. We have circumstances. We have family things that happen and emotional things that happen. And a lot of times we stop in our life and say, "God, could you really use me?" And then I read a portion like Psalm 105. Psalm 105 is really a powerful portion of Scripture to me. It literally begins in verse 1 and it says, "Oh, give thanks." And I want you to see this. He says, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name." And then it goes down with a list of ways God's children can give thanks to the Lord. Make known his deeds. Sing unto him. In other words, sing songs. Talk ye of all his wisdom, his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart rejoice and seek the Lord. And seek strength from the Lord. Seek his face evermore. Remember his wonderful works. And it goes on down, encouraging the children of God just to seek God's face and give thanks to the Lord. Well, I tell you, God is good to us today. Amen. In the very worst thing that's happened in our life, God is good to us. And I look at things that have happened, circumstances and situations, and I realize this. Sometimes God is preparing us for a work that he wants us to do. A lot of times people get bitter in the circumstances. A lot of times situations happen in our lives, and we ask the question, how could God allow that to happen? But in turn, I understand this. Many times God is preparing us to do a work that we never even could imagine. I had no thought of going into the Capitol Hill. I had no thought of going into offices. And I never had a thought, I wanted to. Living around D.C., you want that in your life, but it's like, how in the world do you even start this? What doors do you go to? And God began to put that together in my life. I understand this. Every person in this church house has a purpose in life. God has something for you to do. I don't believe God sends people to the church every time somebody walks the aisle of Independent Baptist Church. We've had new members. We have folks that are just right now coming in, Andrews Air Force Base and Bowling's Air Force Base. We've had members and our new folks joining, and things happen. Every time they walk down the aisle, I understand this. God has sent somebody to Independent Baptist Church that he's going to use in some area, because every one of us are equipped with spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts are the equipping for God's church and God's ministry and the propagation of the gospel. If you sit here today and you have a spiritual gift that you're not using, you paralyze the church in an area when you don't use that spiritual gift. God gives you a spiritual strength, a gift that is to be used within the ministry. T- Tonight, we've had people singing. We've had folks, you know, there are folks that teach. There are folks that give. There are folks that are administrative. And boy, I tell you, you have a wonderful staff here. God has really blessed. This pulpit is a little bit small. What is the deal with the small pulpit? It was given to you by who? I don't know John Wright. I don't know that guy, okay? He told me to say that, so I figured I'd say that tonight, okay? We all have things in our lives. Honestly, we all have things in our lives that we say, boy, they hinder me. But understand, I looked at this story. I was reading, and it's powerful as you come to this portion of Scripture. It's powerful to see the terrible circumstances in Joseph's life. But then to see what God says in the Scripture. I want you to notice three thoughts tonight. And I want you to notice this first of all. The Bible says in verse 17, and you might want to underline this, he sent a man before them. Now, when I read that, my mind said, this scripture says that God sent a man, but I tell you what, when you read the story, I don't see it as God sending him, I see it as family trouble. Y'all remember the story of Joseph? I see that God comes and he says, I have a work for a man to do, a man named Joseph, but the way I'm going to get him to that point is I'm going to allow him to go through some training. How many of us, and honestly, we could stop right here, we could camp out on the first point, because there are people that say, I could never teach, I could never be a bus captain, I could never do this, I could never do that, because, and you have an excuse. Well, I tell you what, I don't think any of us have an excuse like Joseph has an excuse. If you'll go with me in the Bible, look back at Genesis chapter 37, and I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 37, the Bible says that God sent this man, God sent Joseph before them. Now, there are people that say, I could never speak to a governor, I could never talk to a mayor, I could never do this or I could never do that. I can't either. But I allowed God to use me to do that. And I'm praying that God, every time God opens a door, I want to stick my leg in that door. I want to stick my toe in there and say, I'm getting through the door to see what else God has for me in this time. Now, I can't say this. My ministry has not been without trouble. There have been physical situations. Tonight, my wife is sitting at home, and she broke her foot, crushed her heel, and I got her through surgery, and we got some pain medicine, and my daughter's watching her and helping her. She called me today just thrilled about being able to be here. She wanted to be here to be with you. You know, life is not without circumstances and situations, but there's a God in heaven that knows everything that we need tonight. He knows what we need to go through. He knows the rough edges. Anybody need some rough edges knocked off? Anybody here have some rough edges we need knocked off? And I understand in my life, sometimes I get too big for my britches, and God helps me to understand I'm really a nobody. And it's amazing thing for God to humble you and help you to realize really who you are. But God brings Joseph to, and he mentions Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. No, I want you to notice this. These are the verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being how old? You might want to underline that. Joseph was 17 years of age. And the Bible says God sent Joseph. What happens in Joseph's life? Joseph dreams a dream. Down in verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. And they what? They hated him. Man, Joseph had some situations happen in his life. He tells the dream to his father. And boy, I tell you what, he tells the dream to his father and his mother. And they, the Bible says in verse 10, his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? And so there comes a time of rebuke, and we understand. But his father stands off and begins to observe things. As I began to look at this story, the Bible in Psalm said that God sent Joseph. Boy, I tell you what a sending off party he had. He goes, and we understand eventually he tells the story to his brothers, and he tells it to his family, and the whole family gets upset at him. His brothers go off, they're keeping the sheep, and his father says, I need you to take some food to your brothers. He takes food, and eventually he ends up in a dried up well. His brothers are wanting to kill him. Boy, that's a rough sending off, amen. And all of a sudden, one of his oldest brothers said, here's some folks, Midianites, or some of these folks coming along, and let's sell him. And they make a scheme, they scheme things up. They tear his garment, his coat of many colors, his favor from his father. They tear it up, put blood on it, and they send him off. And eventually he ends up in a place in Potiphar's house. Now, of all things, we see that God was hit with him. And many times it says, even in the scripture there in Potiphar's house, that God was with him, God saw what he was going through, and God blessed everything that his hand touched. He was the steward of Potiphar's house. Amazing story. But as I read in Psalm chapter 105, I'm saying God sent a man, but the sending process was quite a process. Here this man was going through trouble and family rejection, even thoughts of murder. Now he ends up in Potiphar's house. Everything's going good. And then Potiphar's wife comes along and begins to tempt Joseph. But what does he do? How can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? And he begins to run out the door. She grabs his garment. And of course, she lies to her husband. And where does he end up? He ends up in prison. He ends up in prison, and as he's in prison, he has a favor. He's favored there in prison. Amazing to me to just read the story. This is God sending him. This is God working in his life. And what I'm saying tonight is, you might be going through some situations of life, some reversals, some emotional situations, some family situations. You might be facing some things that you never planned on, but maybe we ought to look at it as God is preparing me for something great. Amen? As I look at this, I don't see a good sending off. I mean, here he is in prison, and finally, there's a butler and a baker there, and they've been thrown in prison, and he begins to talk to them, and he interprets their dreams, and one of them loses it, he's hung. One of them goes back to the king, and he said, when you go back before the king, would you please remember me? And boy, we know the story. He goes back before the king, he's restored, and he forgets all about him until the king has a dream, some skinny cows and some fat cows, and all of a sudden he needs somebody to interpret the dream, and that man says, oh, I forgot there was a man years ago. He interpreted a dream for me, and he could probably interpret your dream. And he brings Joseph to the king, and he interprets the dream, and God blesses Joseph like we've never understood. It's amazing. Now, I want to take you over to Genesis chapter. Look at Genesis chapter 41. Notice in Genesis chapter 41, now how old was he when his sending off began? Does anybody remember? He was 17. Now I want you to look at verse 46. Joseph is promoted. He's second only to the Pharaoh. Now Joseph, God works in his life. He's in prison. He's falsely accused. He's tempted. He goes through accusations. His brothers want to murder him. Well, I'll tell you what, he went through some really mighty great trouble. But it says here in verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Can anybody do the math there? How many years had passed? Anybody from 17 to this time, how many years had passed? 13 years. How would you like to go through 13 years of trouble to be prepared? I think we've got it mighty good today, amen? A lot of people say, you know, my life has been troubled, my battles have been strong, my situations have always ended up in difficulty. And I look at America and I say this, there's some Christians that ought to stand up, stop pouting about what they're going through, and say this, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, that's what I want you to do. I'm willing to do your will. Because you might be sitting here today saying, it's all been bad in my life, when God has been preparing you for a great work. Now you think about this. Joseph went through 13 years of what seemed like reversal. I looked at this. I looked at Potiphar's house. I looked at all the different situations. But finally, in this chapter, God allows him to interpret the dream. He is promoted to Zaphnath-Paneah. He's only second to Pharaoh. And he begins to maintain things at Egypt to the place where he saves a nation. He saves his own family because he was faithful to God when he goes through the battles. And somebody says to you, well, you're just trouble. You just keep having trouble. And you keep having, it's almost like Job's three friends came to him and said, you had to really make God mad for some reason, you know. And each one of them just said, hey, you've sinned and you've done something wrong. Hey, that's not always the case. Sometimes God is knocking off the rough edges. Sometimes God is working in our life and he's preparing us for a wonderful work in the future. No telling what God has for you to do tonight. I don't know who you are, but I know this. For every one of us, God has a purpose in our life. What happens? What do you say? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, number one, in the book of Psalms, when I read in verse 17, it says he sent a man. Boy, amazing thing to see a man go through 13 years of struggles for God, but this all was a process of God sending him for a purpose that God had for his life. I'd ask you tonight, don't give up on what God could do in your life. Don't give up being used by God. Don't give up on God's purpose for your life, because God has something special for every one of us that we can do. I want you to look at second statement in scriptures. Number one, God sent Joseph and he was sold into slavery. But number two, God proved Joseph. God proved Joseph. You say, what do you mean? The Bible says, if you look down here in verse 19, until the time that his word came and the word of the Lord tried him. That word tried has the word of proving. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like tests. Miss Spence is here. And she knew me when I was in sixth grade. Her husband was over me. I caused a lot of trouble in school, okay? But I understand this. When test day came, I just was not a big fan of tests. Amen? Is there anybody here who likes tests? Okay, just a couple. I've been studying counseling, and I've been going through. They have this thing called the DSM, Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Health. Anybody know about that? It's a thing that counselors use, and if they're going to get paid, they've got to categorize you. Well, today they have a category for children that if children don't want, you know, they have people that cannot take tests. I wish they'd had that category when I was a teenager, where I didn't have to take tests. I'd just say, I've got this illness. I can't take tests, okay? Let me talk to you, teacher, okay? But I understand this. Joseph came to a place where he had testing, he had trying. God was bending him and taking rough edges off, and he was in prison, and things were happening that just didn't seem right. And then God would give him the keys to the prison, and God would allow him to speak truth, and he would lift the Lord up as much as he was downtrodden. Joseph just kept on doing what God wanted him to do. And you say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying this, that God tested Joseph. Joseph is lied about by Potiphar's wife, yet Joseph passed the test. He did right. He went to prison. He went to prison for doing right, but he did right no matter what. I understand this. Joseph is cast into prison. In prison, he interprets the butler and the baker's dream. And boy, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. He comes and interprets these dreams, and he helps these individuals. He's overseer. In Genesis 39 and verse 5, he was overseer of his house, Potiphar's house. And chapter 39, verse 19, it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me. That his wrath was kindled. Of course, he's thrown into prison. And all these things came to fruition. And now here is a person that is going through trouble, but he's doing it justly. And God is working all things together for good in his life. I, I, I told you, I didn't know anything about D.C., didn't know much. I had the opportunity to do a lot around things. When I was a teenager, the Lord allowed me to, I worked for a carpet cleaning man, and he was Nixon's man for on the planes as they did communication on the planes. So I would go over to Andrews Air Force Base, and at nighttime I would clean the Air Force planes. Air Force One, I'd go down the line and clean the planes, and I got to go all the way down to JFK's plane. And I got to learn a lot and spend a lot of time around things, but I never knew what God was preparing me for. And then, you know, people in our church and situations and getting put in places and always wanting to be in this certain place. But it's amazing that if you will give your heart, if you'll give your life to God, if you'll keep yourself clean, it's amazing what God wants to do in your life. Testing, I understand this. There are trials, there are situations, there's preparation. But there's also testing. There's bending and making and molding in our lives. And God was working all things together for Joseph. I love it. And so God comes and he tests him. And boy, I tell you, the longer we're in this world, the more tests we have. Amen? The old devil comes along every day and tries to put us in a test. And I remember when you read in Job how the devil goes before God. And said, have you seen your servant Job? And he said, God said, he's a wonderful man. He eschews evil. He fears God. And the devil said, but if you just give me his health, I can get him to turn. And here he develops boils, and he's scraping his boils. He loses his children, all his riches, all that he has. And he's sitting there scraping these boils. And his wife comes up and says, why don't you just curse God and die? And he says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What was God doing? God was working all things together for good. He was knocking off some rough edges. And I can remember as I worked through things and as God worked in my life, that I was going through some things, and I didn't know why I was learning this and doing this and in these certain places, but God was doing something. And let me say this tonight, you ought to pay attention to the hand of God. You ought to understand that the things that are happening today, they can be a preparing process for what God wants you to do in your life. There are people out there that are going through problems, situations. And some of them are way beyond me, but I'm so thankful that God allowed me to prepare in different situations. And as God prepared me, I never understood why I was doing this or that, or why God was working in that situation or put me in this. But I understand now it's an amazing thing to look back and see God's hand moving you here and moving you there and preparing you for a work that you never thought that you'd be involved in. God can use every one of us here tonight. God has a purpose for you. You say, well, I'm too old. No, you're not too old to pray. You're not too old to give. You're not too old to go. We ought to serve God until we go to heaven. Well, I just want to serve God, and I'm not saying I want to burn out. I'm not saying I want to rust out. I just want to serve God and just step into eternity serving the Lord. And you look at this scripture, and the Bible says, and notice what the Bible says. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Notice this. In verse 19, until the time that his word came and the word of the Lord tried him. But then I want you to notice this. In verse 21, I underline these words. He made him. You see those words? He made him Lord of his house. God said, I'm preparing, I'm working in your life. I have a purpose for you. God begins to work and he's going through some situations. God is preparing him. God sent him. God proved him. It's like metal. We understand that metal must be tempered if it's going to be strong. It's put in the fire, and they put it in the fire and they get it out and bang on it, and then they put it in water and it tempers it and makes it strong, and then they fire it again and they want it to be the best steel it can be. And the only way it's going to be good is when it goes through some tough situations. And folks, I would say tonight, you may have a reversal in your life. Don't look at that as a bad situation. Look at it as permitted by God in your life for a purpose. I I've been having a lot going on in my life. You know, I lost my daughter-in-law, and I've had some situations, and we've had several. I've preached about 12 funerals just from Christmas on of key people in our church. And people are saying, God, what is God doing? And I had a staff member say, should I shake your hand, Pastor? And I said, why? He said, because you've got a big red X on you, and I don't want it to come over to me, okay? And I understand that there are sometimes things happen in our lives, but I've got to look at it and say, God is preparing me for something. God has a work he wants to do in my life. I understand that there are some situations, and boy, I tell you, God has given us a wonderful staff. We've been baptizing people in church. Before I left, we had three Sundays out of four that we baptized. We've had folks coming in, new people walking in the church, and people being saved, and children's ministry. We had a great vacation Bible time, and kids saved, and all kinds. We had a Sunday after the 4th of July, Red, White, and Blue Sunday, and honored active military. And we've been very busy, and God's doing things. And then my wife breaks her foot. And man, I said, just add that to the list. Here we go again. And going through things, but I read the scriptures, and I see what God does in Joseph's life, and I say, God must have something really good ahead for me. He's preparing me for something. Instead of saying this, I'm reversing. I'm moving forward, prepared for what God has for me in the future. God comes and God works in his life. He tests him. But then I see this, and this is wonderful. It's a wonderful portion. After 2 years, the Bible says, the butler remembers Joseph. Pharaoh calls Joseph, and it's almost like he says, okay, clean him up. He takes a bath. He shaves. They put new clothes on him. He goes before Pharaoh, and he begins to interpret the dream. Oh, God is getting ready to send a terrible famine, a drought here, and we better prepare because something bad is on the horizon. Pharaoh, you need to make a decision. And Pharaoh says, well, what should we do? And he said, we ought to build some silos, and we need to grow grain for these years and put it aside for those years. And God will take care of us if we'll just be prepared. And Pharaoh looks at him, and just my summation of the scriptures, he looks at Joseph and says, Joseph, you're the man. I want to use you. Now, folks, it's easy for us to tell the story here tonight. But 13 years is a long time to go through reversal. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's one thing to go through reversal for 6 months. It's one thing to go through a problem for a couple weeks. It's one thing to look back and say, why did this happen? And it just happened this year. But I'm saying this, for 13 years, this man honored God even in difficult times. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but you might be able to say, hey, I can identify with Joseph. I've been going through some things. Anybody been going through some things? Anybody want to be honest and say, I've gone through some things in my life? And I'll be honest with you. I've gone through some things in my life. I want to be honest. But folks, I haven't gone through 13 years of things. And now he stands before Pharaoh, nice clothes. He interprets a dream. He honors God and saying, this is God that has interpreted this dream. But I want you to understand this. All of a sudden, Joseph comes to a place that he can't but say this. It's God working in my life. Now, let's go back to Psalm 105. I want you to look at this. It says, he sent a man. He tried him. And then in verse 21, he said, he made him Lord of his house. Notice this. And ruler of all his substance. That's a pretty big job, amen? He moves from the prison house to the palace. He moves from nobody to second in command. He's wearing the ring of the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh gives him the finest clothes. He puts him in one of the finest places. And notice what it says. I found this. It really drawed my attention to Washington, D.C. in America. Because he says this, here is this man that was in prison, hated by his family, to bind his princes at his pleasure. In other words, he put Joseph over all of those that were in the kingdom, the princes, all the leaders, Joseph was over. Amazing. He moves from the prison house to the palace. God gives him power. No, notice the other, notice what this, at his pleasure, and to teach his senators wisdom. Now, on Capitol Hill, they think that they are it. Honestly, when you get around them, they think they are it and a bowl of cherries. I mean, they got the PhDs. They've got all the different things hanging on the walls. You walk in their offices, they're very impressive. They've got books and, you know, the leather books. I don't know if they've read them all, but they've got a lot of leather books up there. And you walk in and, you know, they've got their medals and their plaques and they've got all these different things. And they just think, man, I'm the top guy. And here Joseph is placed in the palace over the princes. And it says that God allowed him to teach the senators wisdom. That's an amazing thing to me, to honor, understand and honor. I want to say tonight that we have a great God. And God has a purpose for you tonight. You may be like that guy on Peanuts, that little character on Peanuts, that's always walking around and he had that dark cloud. Do you remember him? You know, and the dark cloud and the little lightning rod coming down every so often. He thought it was just terrible. You might just be like that. But you might say this, God's preparing me for something great ahead. You might have a disability that God makes an ability in your life. You don't know what God is doing if he can work in a man's life named Joseph for 13 years of reversal and make him the top man in the kingdom right under Pharaoh. It's amazing what God could do in our life. I believe I serve the same God that Joseph served. Amen? We read the same Bible. We read about the same God that Joseph honored and looked at the law. And I say this tonight, I want to challenge you tonight. We need to look at our country and say, God has blessed America. And we need to say this, I'm going to be the best citizen I can. And honestly, there's a lot of people that look at politics and they say it is a dirty thing. One day I was with a man and he was a representative, and he said, Pastor Creed, I got to go vote. Why don't you walk with me over to the vote, you know, to vote? And we got on a little tram, went across, and we got in an elevator, and we got in there with some ladies that were representatives. And I've never heard ladies talk so vile in my life. I've never heard that in my life. I've just not heard that type of language in my life. And people say politics is dirty, and honestly, it is dirty, but they are sinners that need a Savior. And God puts us in places where we can be salt and light. They might cuss, but I'll tell you what, there's some people that live right outside the church that cuss. You know, that you're going to work and you're at work, and there's some people there that just aren't the most, they're not the best citizens in the world. And I understand this, Jesus died for every one of them. And he gives us the opportunity. You may never go to D.C., you may never be at your capital, state capital, but God has a purpose for you today. God has something to do in your life. And you might be going through some difficult times, and I understand this. I've gone through some difficult times, but I'm glad God is preparing me for something that he wants me to do. And he has a job for me to do, and he's preparing me for that in my life. What is God doing in your life tonight? Let me have you turn. Look over to Genesis chapter 50. His brothers finally come, and I hate to bring this up. Miss Spence, do you remember when we had that play at Clinton Christian? Nikki Chavers came, and we did Joseph. And the Joseph of the play got sick right before the play. And who but me? I get thrust into this thing, and we're right in the middle of the play, and they had this Pharaoh scene come up, and I had this big hat, headpiece on, and I'm supposed to tell them I'm Joseph. And I mean, we are right at the pinnacle of this play, and I pulled the thing, and it didn't come off. So I grabbed it and pulled it, and my wig came off, and the thing came off, and it was a humorous show from that time on. I mean, we had a comedy hour in that thing, but I remember Joseph comes out and he's speaking a language, and then he starts to talk, and he said, "I'm Joseph," And his brothers start feeling the wall to figure out, is there a door somewhere we can get away? We're dead. He's going to kill us. He's still alive. And then Joseph comes in Genesis chapter 50. And I love what he says, and you all know this portion of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 50, and if you'll look at verse 20, chapter 50, and look at verse 20, let me read verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He asked the question. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. He said, hey, you all wanted to do me harm. But notice this. But God meant it unto good. He said, God had a purpose for all that has happened in my life. I've gone through 13 years, situations, but God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He comes and he forgives his brothers. He brings his family back, puts them in a wonderful place. They have plenty of food. They have everything they need. And God blesses Joseph in that latter end. It's amazing how God will work in our life. Did I ever have any thoughts of going to Capitol Hill every Thursday? Did I have thoughts of going to senatorial meetings, to going to representative meetings, to going to other meetings and just walking into places? And I walk in there and I walk through the gate and I'm like, how in the world did this happen? And the only explanation I can have is I'm not a great person. I'm not anything great. Only explanation I have is God. And you serve the same God that I have, and you have the same opportunities that I have, and we all have an opportunity to see God do above and beyond what we could ever think or imagine. Now, we need to understand, and I want to challenge you in this thought, and boy, I pray that God will bless America. He's given us some leadership. He's given some wonderful things, and I could tell you more stories. I could answer questions. But let me say this. God could bless America, but God's blessing is only going to come as Christians get right with their God and as we serve God in the place that God has prepared for us. God wants to use you. He wants to use me. We can't imagine. I never imagined that Patrick III would be down here in Asheville, North Carolina. Never had that thought in my wildest imagination. He doesn't talk like people down here, but I guess he'll learn that. Amen. But I have a brother-in-law that's down in Dothan, Alabama. A little skinny fella. He went and planted. He just went and started knocking on doors, and now God has given him a church and a school, and he talks like them, and he plays the banjo and the guitar, and they sing, but you never know what God is going to do. We need to be prepared for whatever God has for us. But I tell you what, we need to pray for our nation. We need to ask God to protect our nation. We need to be citizens that are excellent citizens, voting biblical values, praying, seeking God's face for leadership as we vote. But we need to be active, engaged, encouraged, entreating, seeing God do some wonderful things. But let me say this, it begins in our lives. Don't talk yourself out of serving God because of the circumstances. It may just be the preparation time God has for you, preparing you for what God wants to use you for in the future.